This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
India is a huge agriculture production center and exporter of certain crops and food that we rely on, so it would definitely affect us in that way. But I think bigger than that is the whole idea of food sovereignty, almost, is being put at risk for them, but will definitely affect people in Canada. Because really what these bills are, in the most raw, I guess, way of putting it, is it's really dictating who has rights and freedom over food, how it's grown, the land it's grown on, how the land is managed, how the food is distributed, things like that. So it really, for me, comes down to food sovereignty.
Farmers and their families have been traveling across India to New Delhi, where they've been protesting three farm laws for months now. The protests have gained momentum and attention around the world. It's also considered the largest protest in history, with tens and thousands of protesters showing up. Protesters are criticizing the new farm laws for jeopardizing farmer livelihoods, saying the new laws are loosening the rules around the sale, pricing, and storage of crops. Ultimately, these laws would allow farmers to sell directly to private players instead of the government-controlled markets where they get a minimum guaranteed price. I spoke with Rav Singh, an urban farmer from Mississauga, about her thoughts on the farm laws, with a focus on what it means for the change in land use that would likely happen as private players enter the market. Throughout our conversation, Rav draws from her knowledge as an advocate for food justice and climate justice, as well as a member of the Indian diaspora. We also chat about the parallels she sees with farming in Canada and how she's sharing her knowledge around the farmer protests with the local community.
As a farmer, something that I've noticed is whoever holds the seeds holds really like all the power in our food systems, right? And through the Green Revolution and other violent acts, food sovereignty has slowly been stripped away from farmers in India. And these bills will take further food sovereignty away. But if it goes the opposite way, I think it's a great opportunity to show the world how things can be done differently. You know, how we can use the bills in a different way to maybe start repairing damages that were done from colonialism, capitalism, genocide, forced migration of farmers away from their land into cities, things like that.
Rav wears lots of different hats, but most of her work falls within the realm of her business, Shade of Mitti.
My general goal with Shade of Mitti and the work that I do is to support food and climate systems that are built on a foundation of justice, anti-oppression, sustainability, etc. So I guess I'm working towards those goals in a few different ways through education. I run a podcast, starting a project around community sheds in Mississauga so people can have access to gardening tools, a few other things. But I guess the biggest part of my business is the farming side of it. So my farming and what I do with my farm is really focusing on building healthy soil for climate change, but also growing vegetables that I guess are that people could label as more cultural vegetables. So vegetables that are a bit harder maybe to find at farmers markets or stores. So things like bitter melon, okra, etc.
I asked Rav how she got into this field, and she says some aspects were an obvious career path and others came by surprise.
My family, we do come from a farming family in India. So my grandparents and parents, until they moved here, were farming. And growing up, they had a backyard garden, things like that. But we were never ask to help out in it, anything like that. So I really didn't have any connection to farming. But I have always been interested in, I guess, climate change and the environment. So I went to post-secondary to study environmental science. And through one of the experiences I had there, I worked on a farm for a season, and I really had no good reason to go work on a farm. I just wanted an outdoor job, and I literally like Googled outdoor jobs where I was, and that came up, signed up, loved it. And then I stayed for an additional year at what would have been the end of my post-secondary journey, took some agriculture courses, and that's how I ended up in farming.
Rav explains how she's been contributing to the farmer protests over the last few months and how she's feeling as she watches it all unfold at home in Mississauga.
I guess my participation in these protests have been more sharing on social media, going to local rallies. Mississauga and Brampton have been having a lot of amazing rallies, helping to educate others, donating money, things like that. And compared to what protesters are doing in India, it just doesn't seem like a lot, but it's just a different, we each have a really important part to play in these protests. And if this is the part that I can play, I think I try to look at it from that angle, and I feel that makes me feel really good that at least I can do something if I can't directly be on the ground as much as I want to. It also feels a little scary, honestly, because we have seen, you know, there is some violence around the protest, and a lot of young activists are now being arrested and sexually assaulted, things like that. And that's really scary, knowing that my family and friends are, you know, that could potentially happen to them.
She also shares her thoughts as a farmer herself.
The whole idea of food sovereignty is really important to look at, because in Canada and in India, really all around the world, we're already starting to feel the effects of climate change. And these injustices and issues that farmers are protesting against are only going to be exacerbated by climate change. So I would not be surprised if we saw more protests like this happening in the future, even here in Canada. And yeah, climate change is something that doesn't know boundaries, geographical boundaries, political boundaries, etc. So if the bills do go through, and for example, if the land use in India changes as a result, that's going to have effects on climate change, which will reach, the effects of it will reach us here in Canada.
And if land use changes, here's what we might see.
Like they had to in the Green Revolution, if they're being forced to change how they're growing food into methods that are more harmful, that's definitely going to result in land degradation, maybe like higher emissions from their practices, water crisis, which a lot of farmers in India are already facing. And yeah, so I definitely think there's a connection, but also that these bills as they are will definitely negatively affect our climate. And like more directly, the farmers in India will have to pay for that. But like I mentioned before, it's definitely something that will, that we all will have to, that we'll all feel the effects of.
Rav adds that it's not only about the land, but also the farming communities that call it home.
With these bills, a lot of farmers will have to give their land away or leave their land entirely just to survive. And I think that's just a real loss. And the farmers have such value to bring to the land. And for a lot of them, they have been, their ancestors have been tending this land for like who knows how long, right? So they have such a strong connection to the land. They know the best practices to use. They know how to use the land to make a profit, but also use it in a way to protect our environment, protect the ecosystem, and maybe even as a tool to like mitigate climate change as much as we can. So I think a lot of that potential is going to be lost. And there's a lot of parallels that we can draw, or not a lot, but definitely like some parallels we can draw to land being stolen from in Canada and other parts of the world. And also the threat of land being taken away from farmers is there. That definitely is going to affect stress levels, mental health in general, and the suicide rates, which are already a really, really big issue among farmers in India.
Rav is based in Mississauga, but currently farming in Caledon. She had mentioned wanting to find land in Mississauga, and given our conversation around migration and loss of land, I asked her why it matters where she farms.
So it's important for me to stay in Mississauga because I was born here and raised here. And although I did move away for quite a few years in my early 20s, I found my way back here. And I think there is just so much importance and strength in being able to stay in the community that that you either choose to or, you know, were part of growing up and for most of your life. And it's also really important for me to be here because compared to other places I've lived and worked in, there's a lot of gaps in terms of food and climate justice in Mississauga. And I would like to do what I can to maybe not fill all the gaps, but fill some of the gaps.
She tells me that she moved back to Mississauga a few years ago and has experienced the barriers of being a youth in the city, specifically the barriers of being a young farmer and activist. So now she wants to show her community the importance of incorporating justice into its food systems and climate systems. I also asked Rav why it was important for her farming work to intersect with food justice and climate justice.
Land is such a foundation of both food, climate, and environment. It's important for me to have food and climate justice part of my work because I have seen how our food and climate systems and movements can harm people if there aren't elements of justice part of them. I saw that as a young farmer, like I said before, in a field that is dominated by older white men. I see that I've experienced it as a young farmer, as a woman, and also as a brown farmer and employee activist. And also just as like a resident of where I live, I've seen how our food systems are failing certain people in our community.
She says that every time she takes on a new project or makes a business decision, she's considering the ripple effects it'll have on her community. Her urban farming is an example of this.
So I've been farming for a few years now, and when I first started, it definitely was more focused on food that I guess is more cultural importance to me. So things like okra, bitter melon, and different Indian vegetables that when I was going to farmers markets, I wasn't seeing, or even in just, like general grocery stores, I was having to go to specific like Indian grocers to find them. So I definitely started off as that, but I feel like it has grown from there.
Rav adds that her community isn't the only one facing these kind of barriers. So now she's expanding her crops to reflect the diets of other cultures too. She mentions growing Swiss chardonnay, and now she's working with a community member that comes from a Chinese background, and together they're growing certain kinds of green onions.
And then also because I I'm really lucky to be a farmer on land that is stolen. I think it's been important in my practice to make space for, I guess, indigenous varieties of vegetables. So I grow corn from a really amazing indigenous seed keeper in my area, and I'm really lucky to have access to those seeds. And, you know, I don't only grow them, but I also give the food back to that community too. So yeah, I guess long answer short, it started off growing mainly for my culture, but it's definitely expanded from there.
To learn more about Rav's business, Shade of Mitti, including her Lassi Revolution podcast that takes a deeper look at the farmer protests happening in India, find her on social media with the handle Shade of Mitti, or visit her website shadeofmitti.ca. For both the handle and the website, Mitti is spelled M-I-T-I. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.